Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a great day to be with you guys. It's a beautiful morning outside, a little bit chilly. Wind was whipping last night. It was rainy and windy, that's for sure. But I can get used to this weather. The colder it is, the faster my hair grows back. So I'm all right with that.
Well, it's going to grow real good next week, man.
I like it. I like it. I need the hair back.
Next week, are we bringing out the coats and mittens?
You better be bringing out about everything next week. So
long johns?
Yeah, if you do that.
Carhartt jackets.
That's right. I do flannel pants, though. I do flannel or fleece-lined pants.
Yeah.
I don't do the long johns very much.
I've been doing a lot of compression pants, like the ones.
I got you.
Like the athletes wear?
Yep.
I do those quite a bit, and they help
Ethan
a lot.
Ethan likes those.
Yeah. But nah, I hear it's going to be pretty cold next week, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I've been hearing talks of snow.
Well, I know some people like it, some people don't. But, I mean, I do to a certain degree. But when it lingers on for about 5 or 6 months, and I'm like, all right, let's go on. Let's get past it. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Brother Aaron, I think about every time that, not every time, but how it gets dark a little bit earlier now.
Yeah.
So now I remember us having this conversation, I think last year, something about some people like it, some people don't. But, I mean, to be honest with you, it means I can go in a little bit earlier. Mm. You know, I ain't got to mow or something like that till 9 o'clock at night when it's daylight. So I know, Brother Aaron, I get an amen out of him on that one.
Oh, yes. I like this time of the year.
But now the cold is, so it's either one you want. You know what I'm saying? You like that, but then I don't know if people like cold or not. But
yeah.
Anyway, so.
And until a kid gets to a certain age, they pretty much associate darkness with bedtime. So you can usually get them to go to bed early a little bit.
And kids, so, what about adults? I mean, me too, brother.
I don't need no help.
Man.
I can go to bed on demand.
I got you. Yeah.
I don't need nobody's help. I can just go to sleep.
I said that was one thing, you know, as a kid that I wish that we would understand is that sleep is a really awesome thing. But for some reason, as a kid, you don't realize the value of it until you get older.
Well, I'm kind of surprised, Hannah, because, I mean, actually, Maddie and, of course, my son-in-law also, it's like, my goodness, they go to bed like at 7:30. They're ready to go to bed. I was like, what? Y'all are young still. I said, I don't care.
You figure it out soon.
Then also, they got a set of stairs that goes up to an upstairs. It's got a couple bedrooms up there. And they are already saying, if we ever get another house, there will be no stairs in our new house. I said, Lord, y'all are young. Y'all figuring this out? I said, yep, we ain't doing no stairs next time. So, all right then. So,
now, how have the stairs been with baby? Well, he can't.
Well, he's crawling now.
He's starting.
He is crawling now. So, I mean, they do have to put something there and keep a watch out. So, yeah. He is officially crawling. So,
all the crawlers that come and visit us, we have to watch.
I bet.
They love it. They love climbing up and down the stairs. But,
you know, a couple weeks ago, to be honest with you, he kind of took two or three little motions there like he's going to crawl. But you never know when the official date when he starts crawling. But, yeah, he's we can say we got an official crawler now.
He's mobile.
Sure. Yep.
He's on the road.
All right. That's right. His knees are red and everything. And, of course, us being Graham and Pops or whatever, we're thinking about, man, does he need knee pads or what's he need?
No.
Because I got knee pads that I work with, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, he needs knee pads like I got. So.
Those things would swallow him. It wouldn't be a knee pad, it'd be a leg pad.
But for real, my wife did look it up, and they've got baby knee pads that are real little that go, and I'm like, man, he needs to be tough. He'll be all right.
Yeah. So. November 28th, Made for More Fitness Turkey Trot 5K starts at 9 o'clock. 8 a.m. in the morning?
Or check in at 8, starts at 9.
Okay. And then our BCA Christmas play, December the 6th, A Savior is Born. That starts at 7 o'clock p.m. with your favorite Christmas dessert to follow afterwards. If you want in for the competition, you have to have your dessert in before 6:30 p.m. for judging. December 11th and 12th, A Winter Awakening here with Bishop Lance Johnson will be here at Bethel Fellowship. That is going to be 6:30 p.m., I do believe. I'll have to get confirmed on that time. I'll try to confirm that tomorrow. Wednesday and Thursday, December 11th and 12th, Pleasant View Baptist Christmas Cantata, December 27th at 7 o'clock p.m. and First Baptist Sounds of Christmas Evening, December the 22nd at 6 o'clock there in Litchfield, Kentucky. For those still asking about our podcast page, we are at the mercy of Tithely. And so I just don't know what to say. I can't make them speed up or slow down. And so if you want to file a complaint with them, please do so. More, I think it maybe get them a – they know it's a bug, and they're just slow to fix it. I don't know. I mean –
Wow.
And so I can say that, you know, it's not the dealing with technology – you would hope it moves faster than what they're moving with it. So I just apologize that it's out of our control. And so we just apologize about the podcast page on the app not working, but you're still able to go to Box 2 Radio. That's box2radio.com. Or if you're looking for the sermons from Bethel, you can go to bethelfmi.org. Again, that's bethelfmi.org. And, I think that's just about all the announcements, right? Josh, you got any that I'm
no,
may not know yet?
We're all right, man. That's nope, that's about all we got too. Just of course we will not have service this Thursday night, of course. You know, our midweek is normally Thursday.
Why not?
So we're gonna be with families, hopefully. So anyway.
we won't be having Wednesday night service this week either.
All right. So. But I know some people, you know, has a busy day on Thursday. And actually, Thursday is going to be our kind of, we've got one, I think, to go to. Could have another one, but it's just not going to work out where we can probably get it all going. So, but anyway, so that's about all we got going on.
All righty. Well, we are in the book of Romans still. And do not forget that if you're a part of Bethel here, or if you don't have a home church to go to, we'd love to see you. Josh would love to see you. There's churches all over the county that would love to see you. So
that's right.
Go find somewhere.
Amen.
But beginning this Sunday morning here, we will begin 1 John. And so
awesome.
For my calculations, roughly it'll take 20 sermons to get through the book of John. So
1 John.
1 John, not John. That would take a lot more for 20.
yeah, it took us a little while there.
Yeah. 1 John. And so it's going to – so we're hoping to keep everybody apprised to what where we'll be at so people could study.
Right.
I've already had several that said we're going to kind of like study with you and deep dive and been kind of in the book of 1 John as we're beginning to go, which was my hope as a pastor, is that we would begin very corporately to begin to study the Bible together.
Yep, that's awesome.
And
that's
awesome. What we'll be teaching on Sunday is just confirmation of what's already being received and heard in our hearts Monday through Saturday.
Right.
And so that's just one of my – that would be the greatest joy of a pastor, is that everybody's studying the book together and it's not just coming to hear it on – because as we've said last Sunday morning, there's one thing hearing it, there's another thing receiving it. And
right.
We could hear the word without receiving the word, but we must receive the word, and when we receive the word, we'll become doer of the word.
Amen.
And so I want the word to be more than just ideologies and philosophies that we hear. I want it to be a truth that sets us free.
Right.
And so.
Amen.
We are on verse, what are we on, Hannah?
We're now in chapter 13.
13.
Mm-hmm.
Good. We can get over this blessing your enemy stuff.
Glad y'all got past that without me here.
We settled that with Jason and Gretchen yesterday.
Yeah. And for all those that were wondering if I'm still eating sausage on a stick, I am not this morning. but that thing is really good. Have you ever had the sausage on a stick?
I have not, but I've seen you enjoy a few of them. So why aren't you eating it today? Are you taking a break from it, or
actually,
what?
Did you run out? I'm eating something today. It says probiotic, so I think it's supposed to be healthy. But it's actually really good. It is. Wow. I don't know if it's sausage on a stick.
Now, did you grab that going out the door? You thought, oh, that'll work? Or did you actually take some thought into it and say, yep, that's what I'm wanting this morning? Who wakes up and says, I want probiotic gummies?
Well, if you're tasting them.
It's like a cluster, right? Like a
it's
yogurt
okay.
coated.
It's
right.
real
that's
fruit.
It
it's real fruit bites coated in creamy yogurt.
All right.
There is 2 billion probiotic cultures.
In those?
Yeah.
So this is going to help his digestion. The sugar content might be a little higher than it needs to be. because it's dried fruit, but it's got a lot of packed nutrients in there.
I mean, 2 billion in that little bitty old packet.
I don't know what probiotics are, but if there's 2 billion of them, it's got to be good for you.
Hey, I've heard that name, but like I say, if I had to give you a definition.
I think it's healthy bacteria. And I think it helps balance out the bad bacteria in your gut.
I'm an expert at bacteria.
We'll take it.
Yeah. All I know is they're really good.
I think it's similar to, have you seen those drinks? It looks like tea in the stores, but it's called kombucha. Kombucha.
Really?
And it's
Josh, really?
It's a weird name.
Who would drink that?
And it's by those other little drinks that are like all the healthy drinks, like little healthy smoothies and little vitamin shake up drink. It's in like the vegetable and fruit section.
I got you.
And it has the same things in it.
Well, if I can't pronounce the drink, I'm not drinking it.
Well, I mean, when you talk about drinks and protein shakes and things like that, anything past Ensure, I mean, I don't know nothing about it. So I remember.
This stuff is called Nature's Garden Powered by Plants. How can it not be healthy?
Yeah.
It's something to do with the plants.
That's right.
So kind of like.
So is that vegetables?
I'm on a diet right now. Like, I mean,
you're not on an all day diet. You're just on a morning diet. Oh man!
I don't know what these yogis are, but they are delicious.
Oh my goodness!
No, in all honesty, though, you should find you like a.
I did. They're called yogis.
Like a what are they called? A supplement powder to put in like smoothies and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you won't even be able to taste
them. They are gross.
Wow.
We've tried them.
You tried some?
Yes.
Like a green food one?
Tastes like you're
eating
alfalfa.
Because he's never going to. Well, okay, I won't say never. I'll never say never.
Yeah.
He so far.
Don't put those curses on me.
He so far doesn't want to eat the food, the green food, but maybe he could sneak it in there somehow.
Sneak it in there. Hey, Heather, I hope you're listening this morning. Sneak it in there.
But she's probably tried this, I would say.
We tried those supplemental things. It's like you're mixing grass in with a drink, and pretty soon you just might as well neigh a little bit. It's like a horse eating grass.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sticking to my 2 billion probiotics here.
All right, dude.
And then it's got 3 grams of fiber. I think that's important when you get older.
That's right.
No artificial flavors or colors. There's potassium in there. This is non-GMO, gluten-free, no corn syrup. How much more healthy do you want?
Nah.
This is marketing everybody.
It sounds good anyway.
I mean, this is like.
Hey, gluten-free, could the trucker boys eat that?
I don't want to share. They can get their own.
There's not enough in that little thing to share.
I'm just kidding.
It is little.
You ain't kidding. Does that fill you up,
that one thing?
Uh-huh.
No.
Wow.
When they're dried fruit with yogis on top.
It fills him up. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that can fill you up, brother. I'm sorry. No. I can't believe you just told her that could fill you up.
I
feel good right now. I feel like
that's
I can.
Good.
I feel like I can wait at least.
Well, you do look pretty happy this morning. I'll tell you that.
Well, I feel like I can wait at least another 30 minutes till I eat again. So,
all right, that'll work. Small portions. It's not really, you know, people say when you if you do small portions often, it's better than doing big portions more so. So there you go. You can do that.
On vacations, I have a strict 2-hour diet. Eat every 2 hours. Heather will contest to that. And so, all right, we'll get into Romans here. I just had to share my yogi's testimony this morning. All right. First one of chapter 13 of the book of Romans. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. This verse is big. It's very big. Man, I wish we could have we probably should like remember this verse quite often in our life is right. That sometimes the leaders that we have is the leaders that we deserve. That's that's a hard statement to eat on, but it's true. And I think that we have to understand nobody gains authority except the Lord allows them to have the authority.
Right.
And a lot of the times the authority that a nation has is the very authority the nation deserves to have.
Right.
For Saul was not the original intention of the Lord, because the Lord himself wanted to be their king.
Right.
But whenever they wanted a king, they chose Saul. And in that, like, there was a Saul was the Lord did anoint Saul. Like, I think that's where we don't talk enough about this conversation of government and authorities and everything, like that in this, like, the Lord did anoint Saul. The people wanted Saul, and the Lord anointed Saul and gave him the position.
Right.
The Lord could have definitely kept Saul out of office.
Yes.
As king.
Yeah.
Could have. But he allowed him. And he anointed him. He even put a spirit on him. He said, if this is who you want, this is who you're going to have. And the Lord allowed him to have authority.
Right.
And we know it didn't end that well. But if you actually think about it, all throughout the other lineages, the Lord could have removed any wicked king. He did eventually move Ahab, but Ahab was there, and the Lord allowed Ahab to be there. And so I think this is the one thing that we're having to learn here is there is no authority except from God.
Yeah.
And the only authority that man has is authority that God has allowed them. And it's not always because they are God's blessing to humanity. It could be God's judgment to a nation, the very leaders they appointed or wanted.
Yep, I got you. I mean, this is very tough scripture for some people to understand. But you got to know that God's ways past finding out. And like you said, why was he given kingship? It's because the people said, "Hey, we want this or we want mm-hmm. that." You know, so oftentimes the voice of the people allows these things to be or not to be. But to say they are ordained by God, they are ordained by God for the reason of them, but then we got to be subject to them. But now, subject, that word there means like under. But I mean, that does that mean that if they ask us to do something that we shouldn't do according to the word? But that means as a higher power, we have standards here. Even our local law, our laws of what we should and should not do, how we should or should not follow them. But to know that the powers that be, this is hard for so many people when somebody gets in office or something that has motives to maybe tear down something instead of build it up. You think, how in the world can that be ordained by God? Because actually, he's given us the authority. He's given me and you the authority to actually, you know, do some of the things that he's commissioned us to do. But what we do with him oftentimes, we suffer the repercussions of whether we do it for the good or some people do it for the bad. But, I mean, that's oftentimes the reason they get in there is because that's what the people's cry or the people's vote is or things like that. But to know that everything that happens, you know, everything like this, is, you know, it's ordained by God. But, I mean, it's just so tough of a scripture there.
Yeah. And I do think with civil disobedience that we worship God above man.
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
100%. Yes. Daniel is a really good example of this.
Right.
But you also got to remember, Daniel, even in the midst of a very wicked government, remained very honorable and respectful.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's an underlining factor we can never forget in anything.
Good, Aaron.
Is that he remained honorable, respectful, and he did not attack Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't. He rebelled. He rebelled against the laws that would have been making him sin against his God. But even in that, like, he told the eunuch, like, your life's on the line too. I get this. So why don't you tell King Nebuchadnezzar we're not going to eat his diet? And if we don't become healthier than the ones who are eating his diet with our diet, then we'll move to your diet. But of course, the Lord showed off. But Daniel didn't just go scream and he didn't go do this. You right. never saw Daniel act like a baby or be dishonorable in any facet. He remained honorable, yet remained faithful to his God and never sinned against God.
The Amen. Two things I see with that is, one, the things that he stood up for and rebelled against was things that he had a conviction that it was going against the Lord, and it was the Lord that wanted him not That's to good. Do that. So it wasn't just his flesh not wanting to do something.
Right.
It was his spirit saying, I can't do that. And then secondly, he used wisdom. He had used a lot of wisdom in how to carry that out. And then he had faith that the Lord was going to have his back when he did that. So I think where we get in trouble is where we know the right things to do, but we get really fleshy about it.
Yeah.
And we don't use wisdom.
Right.
But also I was reminded of like the murmuring and complaining that the Israelites, you know, that caused them to have to wonder around the same mountains for so much longer than they would have had to.
Right.
And I think sometimes our murmuring and complaining and what we're saying, well, I wish we had this. I wish, you know, we had a leader like this. And when nothing is ever good enough for us and we're never content in the Lord and we're always complaining about what we need, even when we have something good.
Yep.
I think sometimes the Lord gives us what we want to teach us a lesson of, remember when you said you wanted that?
Yeah.
Like, I love hearing, and this is a little bit different, but I've heard testimonies of people, even Brother Denny, he will share this. He said, when I was a young man, I used to say, man, I wish I could just, I wish it was Friday already, or I wish it was, this week was over, this work week, or I wish this, I wish it was already this holiday or this time. And he was always wishing that it was a further time. And then he said that the Lord reminded him of that, of how he used to say that. And he truly felt like his time was so much shorter. Like, he feels like the time went by so much quicker than what it should have.
Wow.
Because he was always, you know, looking to the, not being in the present. And then I've heard, you know, Megan Fortner just shared on with her testimony of her accident. She had said, man, I just want a break. Like, I just wish I could sit for a little bit and
wow.
and sometimes, and the Lord reminded her of that. Like, he wasn't doing it to be mean. Like, it's not, yeah, like he did that. He didn't like do he didn't cause the accident necessarily, but he allowed it, and he reminded her of what her words were speaking. Like,
wow.
Well, be mindful of what you're wishing for, what you're saying that you want.
That's true.
Because do you really want to be sitting? Do you really want to have a break where you're sitting and not working? And so she shared that testimony on the radio, so I feel like I can share that. But all that to say, I think we see that in scripture, even with the Saul example.
Right.
And like, what we want, the Lord will give it to us to teach us.
Wow.
So unless there is a direct way it is breaking the commandment of the Lord, we are to be obedient to our government.
I believe so, brother. I mean,
it's just period.
Yeah.
And this is what the scripture is telling us here. And you can even go back to, I hate taxes. Personally, I hate taxes. I despise taxes. But when Peter addresses this, maybe Peter thought Jesus is going to liberate them from taxes. But, and I think for a lot of people, that's kind of a thought process. Like, God's going to deliver us from all of it.
Yeah.
But actually, Jesus told him, hey, what's Caesar's? Render unto Caesar.
That's right.
And if you have struggle paying it, go check the fish's mouth and I'll provide for you to pay your taxes. And I think there's a lot to learn in that story.
Yeah.
Not a parable. It's not a parable. We're being careful here. In that account.
Yeah.
In that true story that happened. Because I think that it's teaching us that sometimes we blame God for our rebellious hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it godliness.
Yeah.
But in reality, what it is it's dishonor and it's rebellion. And it's still that darkness that's in our own heart, but we need an excuse for it.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to blame God and saying that we are just, it's wickedness and it's this and it's that. And, but 13 here is not telling us that submit to good authority. It's just saying all authority.
Yeah.
To the government, for there is no authority from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur what? Judgment.
Yep.
For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So we'll continue down that road, but remember that with this submission to authority, you can say this, that, well, Paul just didn't have to deal with what we dealt with today. If you don't think the Roman government was as wicked and as corrupt
right.
as the American government is,
yeah.
I mean this with all sincerity, but also love, there's deception in that thought.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a government that took Christians, put them and set them on fire and put them on a stake in the backyard so they could have nightlights walking through their path. We're talking about a government that set two people in an arena and they fought till death and they cheered and this was the government.
Yeah.
We're talking about a government that went and destroyed the temple in AD 70 and sacrificed a pig right on the altar. Like, I think we have to be careful to say, well, Paul just didn't know what we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
Because what we're dealing with is still not as extreme what they dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yet Paul's able to write this to the Romans.
And probably I think he looked out and knew that, you know, his time was short here on earth like all of us are. But like, hey, not only am I warning you, but I'm warning people that's going to come after you too.
Yeah.
I'm warning them also. Not just you. This ain't just for you. This is for me right now too. This is for us right now too.
Yeah. So that's the hard part is, you know, if it's commanding you to break scripture. So yeah. I will rebel against things that make me forced to accept abortion as moral.
Yep.
I'm never going with it.
That's right.
I'll go to if they tell me you're going to go to jail if you preach against abortion, then I'm going to have a prison ministry. All right.
There you go.
If they tell me that I can't preach against homosexuality and I can't speak truth like this conversion band therapy to the ones who are licensed therapists, guess what? If I was a licensed therapist, I'm not very clear, but I'd be losing my license.
Yeah.
Because those would be contrary to the word of God, and that's where civil disobedience, but even civil disobedience, we can do it in an honorable, Christ-like, full of love and honor with the intent to provoke repentance, not condemnation. Because Jesus said...
Yeah, where did our thought of, you know, everything we try to get across to people, just as you talked about Daniel earlier, how he stood firm in what he believed in, but it ain't like he just was, you know, forcing down their throat all the time, but I believe they knew where he stand.
Absolutely.
I believe there's people now instead of us just forcing it down. I mean, we need to be a voice. I'm not
our
saying
witness.
We don't need to be a voice. That's right, Hannah. But also, people know where we stand. People know where...
By the way we live.
That's right. I mean, so... And I mean, I'm not saying that's not a cop-out for me not to say anything, but I'm just, you know, in particular matters, just as Daniel was, if you're somewhere in that government, therefore you stand firm in what you believe in, then one day they're going to say, hey, you know, I'm starting to see that now. I'm starting to see that your God is the God that we need to be serving.
Yeah.
I can't share much on this. Oh, we have 1 minute. there was a situation, and I can't say names or places or anything, but a teacher was standing up to, was speaking out against curriculum and was saying, basically, I know this person that works here is not going to be okay with this because of their beliefs, and they're not going to be okay with their own children. They wouldn't be okay with their own children learning this. And I don't really know what came from that, but even just that person having the boldness to speak up, even not even for themselves, but because they knew that another person, they lived their life in a certain way where they needed to be respected and they didn't agree with this. And this would not only, come against the values of one person, but anyone who holds Christian values. And so I think that's an example of that is, you know, that person wasn't even there to defend their values, but somebody else was defending their values because they saw the way that they lived and the way that they believed.
Right.
And so they were able to even, you know, defend that. So I think that's kind of along the lines of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we live in such a way.
Well, I mean, people stand up for you because I had people that I used to work with back years ago. Of course, you know, when you're out in the workforce, a lot of people don't care what they say or do around you. But I had some that, even though they was out in the world, and others would do things around me that really, that I didn't approve of, that those people would stand up for me and say, hey, we don't do that around him. We don't do that around him. And said he, you know, and so, you know, the Lord will stand for you and he'll allow others to stand with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he puts us in the places that we're at, his people.
Right. That's right.
Well, Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. What does the book of Colossians tell us to set our affection on? What does the book of Colossians tell us to set our affections on? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. And did we have an answer for that trivia question?
Yes, we've got one. Greg Carwell got that right. on things above.
Way to go, Brother Greg. All right. So on those things that are above.
They got a. They gave him a hint a little bit there, too, in the book of. So, I mean, you knew where to go to anyway.
That's true. Good that job, was a Brother good Greg. One. Yeah. All right. Well, it is time for Kingdom Corner. I am this morning still in 1 Peter. I wanted to finish that whole section in chapter 2, but wasn't able to. So I'm going to do it today. But just really, even before I start the Kingdom Corner, I was thinking about how Kingdom Corner yesterday was talking about, it's just been, Peter has been lining up with Romans in just what it's teaching on. So he was actually yesterday talking about honoring the leadership and submitting to authority, and how that is us serving the Lord. Through submitting to authority. So I thought that was cool how it lined up, and even how we talked about how, you know, Peter, before he was empowered by the Holy Ghost and grew and matured in the Lord, he was struggling with some of those things.
Right.
He was the one that really struggled with submitting to authority. So the fact that the Lord used him, you know, inspired the scripture and used him to write that, I think is pretty cool that he ended up writing about that. And the Lord used him, and it just shows his testimony and his transformation of what happens when we're empowered by the walking in the Spirit and maturing in Christ.
Right.
So, but this second section of that chapter, starting in verse 20, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's powerful.
Wow. You ain't kidding.
But let's go back to... So whenever he's talking about suffering, so he's saying, for what benefit, what... it reminds me of when it talks about loving your enemies. What profit is it to love someone who already loves you? You know, there's a scripture that talks about that.
Right.
It's more profitable to love someone who does not already love you. Loving your enemies is more profitable, because that is an example of true love. It's easy to just love somebody back who loves us and give that. But whenever you do that, it's more profitable, because we know it's a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Lord, and that's profitable. And I believe that's what he's saying here. What profit is it? What credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, that is a gracious thing in the sight of God. So he's bringing up this, like, you know, if we sin and we get punished, we deserve that punishment.
Come on.
You know, there's no profit there. There's, I mean, we do need punishment for when we sin. But he's saying, when you are doing good and you suffer for it and you endure through that, false accusation, whatever it is, like Joseph, like Jesus, like the disciples, he says it's a gracious thing in the sight of God.
Right.
And you think about that, and it's like, that's gracious? Like, you know, our natural mind wants to think, well, what'd they do to deserve that, you know?
Right.
But that's the point. They didn't do anything to deserve it, but it's a representation of Christ. It is a representation of love, really, not fighting back. He goes on to talk about that. You know, Christ didn't fight back. He didn't do unto them what they were doing to him.
That's right.
He treated people how he would want to be treated. He extended mercy and grace in all situations, even in the suffering. And if he could do that in literally being, you know, beaten and killed, then how much more can we do that while empowered by the Holy Spirit in any situation when we're being falsely accused of something, gossiped about, mistreated, any of these things. And I just, I love the way that that's worded, because it's saying when you are put in, even James, Book of James confirms this. When we go through these trials, we should count it all joy, because it's actually the grace of God, not only to us, but to those people that are inflicting the harm on us or talking about us. And that's something, like, I guess I've never thought about, is how the Lord could have grace on even the people through a Christian going through a trial and reflecting his character. He's having grace not only on the Christian by teaching us and producing more oil in us, but he's also extending mercy and grace to the ones who are doing the harm.
Come on.
Because they're doing that. They are experiencing his mercy, his grace through us extending his grace and mercy and his love. And I believe, clear picture, we can see that with Stephen when he's being stoned, the prayer that he's praying over those people. And then what happens afterwards? Saul to Paul, conversion. Yep. So there's so many examples of this throughout scripture. But in the kingdom, I think it's important to remember this, because, you know, we look to Christ. It says right here, Christ suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps.
Amen.
It lists all the things. And again, I've talked about this another day of, well, I'm not Jesus, so I can't. I think I talked about it with Brother Rick in a Kingdom Corner. We might not be Jesus. We don't have the deity. We are not God, but we are made in his image.
That's right.
And not only that, we're carriers of his glory. We're his body.
Amen.
We are the body. So we are able to not sin with his empowerment and him living inside of us.
That's right.
We're able to make it through these things. And no, it's not easy, but the more we walk in the Spirit, the more it becomes joyful to us. And even when we fall or we mess up, we realize that we can get back up. We can just get right back up because he has empowered us.
Yep.
And he empowered us. He bore our sins so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness.
Amen.
And by his wounds, we have been healed. We have been saved. Our souls are saved because of what he took for us. So imagine, I'm just putting this as like the reflection of him and us in our relationship, and then us in the world. So if we endure these things and we reflect his character and we treat people with kindness and we do what this word tells us to do and we truly let our light shine before men, if we came to salvation because of the wounds and the afflictions that he went through for us, what is that going to do for the people around us when we're going through these things and being Christ to them? It's going to lead other people to him.
Yes, it is.
It's going to, just like it brought us into the fold, it's going to bring more people into the fold, because they're going to see that we made it through, and that there's no way that a normal person could make it through and have the love of God and show his character and treat somebody with love and heap coals upon their head with kindness. It's going to point them straight back to Jesus.
Amen.
And bring more people.
That's
in.
Exactly right. And I can't get out of my mind verse 23, what it says, when he was reviled. It makes me think of Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes, of course, when men shall, if you want to be blessed, this is one of the Beatitudes. You know, when men shall say evil men are against you, shall persecute you, they'll revive you. Blessed is he. And I know that, you know, walking in the blessings of the Lord is also, you know, the heading, as you started to read, you know, with subjection to authority. So I think that's very, very awesome how we started out in Romans 13 talking about authority and how all the powers that be were ordained by God. But right here we see where, you know, where we must do that as well. And actually, I believe the writers, you know, are confirming through each other's word, even though it's a different word for every time, but still yet it's a confirmation of what the word really was. And it's living inside of you and me right now.
And it's the Holy Spirit. It's that witness that it talks about that we have through the Holy Spirit. And I think it's cool that, you know, one is Paul writing, one is Peter writing.
That's right.
And they were very different, but the same Spirit was confirming and speaking the same word to them. And that was even bringing them together into unity.
Yeah.
Because their message was the same. That's how you know that they were both called by God. They were both you know, apostles. They were they were both called for this and used by God. And so it was awesome because yesterday, well, I read the authority, the part that actually talked about the authority yesterday.
Yeah, yes.
And then today we talked about the authority in Romans.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's just all, you know, it's very amazing how you can't take away that there's many different writers in the Word of God, but it was still God-inspired. But still, every time it confirmed one another's writings. Because to be honest with you, maybe one of us could read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and understand it one way, but then maybe some of us could, you know, understand whether it be Colossians or whether it be, you know, some of Paul's writings, whether it be the Corinthians, whether or whatever it is, but still yet how it's going to get us connected to who? Connected to our Father Jesus. And
Amen.
I'm thankful that, you know, that he shows us this, he tells us this, and he's confirming every time that I think that a writer writes these things, they always, you know, set an introduction. They set some kind of example, like, this is who Jesus is. All right, now this is what we must do. And so I believe it's very, very for us to know that even though that for ye were as sheep going astray, but then it says, but are now returning to the shepherd. I'm thankful that that word shepherd in my Bible, Sister Hannah, it's capitalized. It shows some kind of, you know, why is that capitalized? Because the shepherd we're talking about is Jesus.
The shepherd.
And I know that as Pastor Aaron and all pastors, and not only pastors, but also even, I believe you, Sister Hannah, many people that are in leadership, they are a type of shepherd. All right, they're a type of shepherd that, hey, listen, you know, that that will gather the flock in, that will feed the flock. But the thing about it is, if we're always the ones, you know, giving out, but see, I need to be fed as well.
Mm-hmm.
See, it feeds me amazingly here on these Tuesday mornings with you guys to know that when I listen to the word and when I begin to do that, when I hear other ministers, it feeds me as well. See, because shepherds need to be fed also. Unless you're by the shepherd. That's right. And knowing that we must at one time realize that there's people out there today, even within our churches, that maybe, and I'd speak this often up there at the church, say, look, I'm just afraid that so many people are sitting right here. And even though you're here, you're still in a mode of going astray. You know, because even though you come all the time, but still yet your motive is not going toward Jesus. Your motive is just being okay with just coming to church and that's it. But if you're in a mode of being lukewarm, if you're in a mode of being just sitting there, then I believe that actually you're in a mode of, you know, being drawn away, going astray.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you got the shepherd there trying to keep pulling you back, keep pulling you back, keep pulling you back. There comes a time, though, where his spirit will not always strive with man. But I'm thankful that his spirit is still drawing people to him. You say, well, how do you know it is? Because he's drawing me closer.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I proclaim to be a child of God. I proclaim to be a Christian. I know what Christian means. It means Christ-like. It saddens me to think that, you know, that you ask, you know, 100 people out there and 90 to 95 of people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But anyway, they don't live it. You don't see no attributes of Jesus, but actually a true believer has the likeness of Jesus and mm-hmm. does the things of Jesus. Why is that? Because we have learned, Hannah, how to be subject, how to be a servant for him.
Yep.
See, if I'm a great servant for him, not only that, but also going back to Romans 13, being subject to powers, we'll also be a good servant there.
Yeah.
I remember back years ago when I was in high school. You know, it was something that that some of us, we really wanted a job out there. You know, I worked at Houchins at the time. But I remember them people calling here at the school and saying, hey, do you all got any other people that would like a summer job or things like that? Because of why? The people that had gone before us, that even though they didn't know us, but they said, well, we're willing to say, hey, you got any more people that needs a job? Because, you know, we would love to hire from where you're at. Because, I mean, there's been people come and they've been great workers, so we need people like that. But I mean, it's because people that's gone before us that sets that up.
That character.
So, that's right. So when Jesus was on this earth, even though he was the highest power, But still yet, just like Brother Aaron said earlier, about how you still got to render to Caesar's what's Caesar's.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to give him, you know, pay taxes. Yeah, we don't like it, but I mean, I remember people saying there's a few things that you got to do in this life. You got to live, you got to die, you got to pay taxes. And I remember, I believe it was somebody said, you don't have to pay taxes. Oh, you don't? Why not? Because eventually they'll just get you and they'll lock you up if you don't pay taxes. But it's something that we still got to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some more than others, it seems like. But also, we must understand that, again, the writers, when they write, this is for our own benefit. This is for Jesus being the chief cornerstone. He's the example. And he did no sin. That's what you must remember. That, and if he did no sin, from the moment that I come into his presence, guess what? I don't want to do no sin either.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go to do that thing that's not right, if I go to say something that's right, even if I think a thought that's not right, I want to bring it under subjection. Because of why? If you don't allow yourself to rise up and be the authority in your life as far as over your thoughts and things, because I believe that the Lord empowers you to have those. But still yet, those things must come under subjection under the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the one that helps me through each and every thing that I do, that I can say, all right, from this moment on, I'm doing the things of him. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do the things of the world. Why? Because mm-hmm. I'm not like the world anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like him. So
new nature.
That's right. And Amen. Ain't nothing like having something brand new. And I'm thankful that his mercy endures forever, and I'm thankful that he's new every day.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that was a good point about the taxes, honestly. I know nobody likes to talk about it, but like, a lot of people use the take out of context and use the excuse of, well, Jesus, you know, he was the most common one flipping tables, but he was getting arrested. He stood up to the people of the day. He challenged the government and all this. That's true, but why? What was the reasoning when those challenges happened? It wasn't just because he was trying to get out of paying taxes.
Come on now.
We never saw that. It was never because it was for the kingdom of God. It
That's
wasn't
right.
for these natural things that disappointed him or upset him. It was for healing people. It was for preaching the gospel. It was for casting out demons. Like,
that's
these
it.
Were the things that were getting him in trouble. Now, there were some other things that he taught, like, you know, they ate on the Sabbath or something like that.
Yeah.
And
he healed on the Sabbath. And people
he healed
just,
on the Sabbath. But he was not, we never see where he was, you know, I mean, and he, it was his own words, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. So
that's right.
We can't, there's no way that we can talk ourselves out of that or make excuse for just, you know, challenging the government just to challenge the government because we don't like what is in place, because
right.
that's exactly what this is telling us in Romans and First Peter, by Jesus saying that. So I think we have to really be careful not to take things out of context and really, I mean, I hate, well, I don't hate, it might sound harsh, but if we do, when we do that, we are preaching another Jesus. Like,
yeah.
we're misrepresenting Jesus by using or misrepresenting and taking what he did out of context to prove our points.
Right.
And to justify what we're doing.
Yep.
And that is leading people astray.
Yep.
And so I pray that, Lord, if there's any way that I, you know, have falsely understood or, you know, used something in the Bible, show me. Like, we need
right.
to be praying that, like,
yes.
Lord, if there's any way in me that I'm preaching anything or teaching anything to somebody that's leading them astray, like, show me what that is so I can speak the truth,
right?
You know, and I
yeah.
think if we have that heart, then he's going to show us, he's going to search our heart and show us what we're speaking that isn't true. But I think that's a scary line to walk, to try to use the Bible to prove our own point and take it out of
Yeah.
you know, what it actually says.
Well, I believe you're adding to or taking away.
Yes.
And I mean, the word strictly says against that. And I don't want to add to, and I don't want to take away. But also, I don't want to keep something from somebody either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell people the word of God. You know,
Amen.
And I just...
Even if it's not fun, like, even if we don't like it.
That's
there,
right.
We, honestly, we should, our flesh shouldn't like the stuff that's in here.
It should show us
what, you know, needs to get in order in our own
that's
self.
Right. That's right.
You know, it's okay if not everything is like, woo, like fasting, awesome. But eventually, the more we practice it, the more we submit our flesh and we crucify it, then we will find joy in it.
That's right. Because it'd be pretty bad right now if the Lord called somebody to fast on this week, right? So, yeah. I see Brother Aaron kind of smirking in there. So, anyway, but no, it's...
That's why all the churches do their fast in the first of the year. They're through the holidays.
They got through the holidays. Yeah, I hear you. So, my.
Oh, goodness. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. My yogis are still holding me over.
That's all right.
How's that, Josh?
Yeah, hey, you're doing well.
I wasn't deceiving.
You're doing well.
If somebody put a sausage on a stick in front of me, I'd still eat it. But I'm okay for a little while now.
That's why nobody's putting it in front.
That's right. So... Well,
we're actually about out of time for this period. Come back in here with Manna in the morning. And our topic today was what, Miss Hannah?
I think it's social media, Christianity, and good. Social media.
Wow,
Josh can handle that,
man.
One.
Yeah, buddy. So
the do's and don'ts.
The do's and don'ts of it. That's right.
But also, our guest is Miss Karen Shrewsbury.
That's awesome. She'll be coming in.
Yeah, I believe so.
Did we talk a little bit about it last week? Social media.
It wasn't on a day when it was our topic, but we ended up talking about.
Okay.
For some reason,
well,
I can't
sometimes my stuff runs together.
That's all right.
We missed it the day we were supposed to talk about it, but then we ended up kind of incorporating it in some other conversation.
Well, I mean, I know that I've had this conversation with my teenagers quite a bit and my middle school kids, but sometimes I run together what I've told what.
I can only imagine. We got to get to morning manna.
That's all right. We'll do that after the break. He said we will. That's fine.
We're getting there.
We'll get there. It'll be all right.
And again, as I said yesterday, do not forget that even though we may have topics that we're kind of putting out there, your questions will be answered.
Yeah.
So they trump it in essence. So if you have a Bible question that get thrown out there, we'll answer those. So we love Bible questions still. We love to get y'all's questions in there, so do not ever hesitate to text me at 270-230-6337. We had a lot of really good conversation yesterday, a lot of good questions, and so we really do enjoy that. Do we have all the answers? By no means. I feel like, you know, we're learning just as much as everybody else,
right.
And so when you ask us your questions, it usually helps us to study into something or think about something we may not have thought of that way before. Think through scripture, and so you know, I don't claim to be a Bible scholar by no means, not even remotely close, but I do know one that is, and Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and
amen,
he's pretty smart.
That's right. He's real smart.
He's pretty smart.
That's right.
And we've got the Word of God.
Amen.
And so it's the words of truth.
It's good.
And words of life, and it's a great honor. And it's a great honor, and I never want to take that for granted, and I think sometimes we do.
Right.
You know, I still like, and honestly, at this point, I don't even know what you do about it, because our lives revolve around our phones so much. It's an integrated part of society at this point.
Yeah.
But every time I look at the screen time on my phone, like, so it pops up every Sunday morning. I have to set it on some other day than it is Sunday. Gets in my head right before I go preach.
It must be all of us, 'cause that's when mine pops up too.
Can't Apple change that, please? Like, to Saturday?
I'll watch that. I'll look at it and I'll think, do I even have a right to preach today?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, you know, for
it's
real.
Like, how am I even going to sermon when I have spent that much time on my phone?
And I know probably with you, Brother Aaron, though, I mean, I'd feel as if you do a lot of planning, you do a lot of studying your word on your Bible and things like that, whereas, to be honest with you, with me, I do look up stuff from time to time, but most of the time, if I'm in the Word of God, I got this out, my Strong's out, and things like that. I ask it a few questions every now and then on the internet or something like that. But, you know, I can understand how yours probably.
Well,
could
no,
get
I don't have
that
much excuse, because, I mean, even though I'm trying to be more organized and, like it or not, the Apple ecosystem is just really good for keeping yourself organized, because it speaks to each other, the watch to the iPad to the computers, to the phones. Everything just syncs perfectly. And, like, I will say it's really nice whenever you can. I could be working on a document on my phone, switch to the computer, and it pulls right up. Like, it's just waiting on me on the computer.
Yeah.
And so that's really nice. But I can't pretend like I'm not watching a lot of rug cleaning videos or silly videos that the trucker boys keep sending me, kind of deal.
I got you.
My
and
favorite.
Before you know it, like you look at the time and it's like, what?
Yeah. How? Yeah. I mean, my favorite video lately has just had me rolling is it was a video of a woman who's getting carried away in worship. And she's like, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've been, wherever. And she goes into a bunch of stuff like drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
She said, no matter. But she goes, and not even the food, not even the food can keep me. And I'm just rolling.
Wow.
Like, I could watch that video every day and just laugh.
Yeah.
But then, like Hannah said, that one little video turns into five little videos. And those five turns into 10. And before you know, you've wasted so much time.
Right, like that, too. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. And it's if you go, and I know we got to go to break. This always happens. You get me stirred up right at break. If you go back to Acts, whenever they're burning, their sorcery books.
Yep.
In the Greek, if you look back, it's probably actually not talking about magic books. Do you know what the actual Greek translates into?
Well, I remember you telling me here a while back, but go ahead.
The busybody.
Yep.
The busybody books. That's what the Greek could translate into is they were burning their books that give them baseless, pointless entertainment.
Yep. Wow.
And so I was like, man, not only is a screen time convicting me, now I got to get the look at Acts and go, ugh.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Because we're there.
Yeah.
We are an entertained society.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Entertainment is our God today.
Yep. Wow.
I used to think our phone was, but I think the phone is just a tool.
Helps us get
right.
to the entertainment.
The phone is just a tool. It can actually be used for the glory of God very easily. And it can help facilitate building the kingdom like the internet can.
Yeah.
Our problem is not our phone. Our problem is entertainment.
Yeah.
It has become our God.
Right.
To be continued after the break.
So.
That's right. You got to reel us in there, Hannah.
All right. Yes, thank you. Tuesday question number two, what was the ninth plague that Moses called upon the Egyptians? What was the ninth plague that Moses cast upon the Egyptians? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back.
She was working from home, and she didn't know who was banging on her door.
All right. We are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood. We do have an answer for those trivia questions. Trivia question. Miss Brenda Sims, she got it correct. Darkness over the land. Amen. So congratulations to my bacon friend there.
Amen. Good job, Sister Brenda.
Hey, I am so glad for that connection you had at that church one time, Josh.
I'm just thankful we still remember that, right?
I'll never forget
That's
it.
That's awesome.
And then she visited us a couple times during
the fair, wasn't it?
During the fair. And so she's a huge blessing to the radio station.
Yeah,
and we thank
awesome.
You for listening, Miss Brenda. All right. Josh, you ready to take us off into the manna for the morning? And then we'll get into some more.
A Bible question or two, maybe.
I don't know what we're doing.
What
social
we'll
media.
All
right. I'm going to teach you how to use social media.
All right, that'll work.
No.
What book are we going to for that one? Every one of them?
Book of Deuteronomy.
Oh, man. I got you. All right, so let's go some morning manna this morning on Tuesday. We're thankful for you guys to chime in and listen each and every time we're able to come. I'm thankful for those Facebook friends of mine that chime in with me on my manna on Monday that I post. But here we go for Isaiah 58, verse 8. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Many times in my life, I've been overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Have you ever begun to think about how he has given you breath and the ability to do what you do? We are the light, and we must break into what he would have us to be. If you proclaim to be a child of God, then the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. The problem with many is that we don't break forth in what he says to do. We are not called to be defeated, but to break forth early in the morning to allow his righteousness to go before us. The reward of our Heavenly Father is the greatest gift anyone can have. So many say they can't wait to one day to have the reward. I declare to you that you can have it today. Just rise up and do the things he has called you to do. Wake up. We have work to do for the kingdom of God. Our reward is for us now. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. Probably one of the reasons that I kind of was writing some of this down was because I'm thinking about this week, how we're going to go to our families. Some of us are. I mean, you know, sad thing is maybe some of us ain't. You know, sometimes I take for granted, Hannah, that I'm always with my family, always going here or there. But at the end of the day, there's some people that don't have that benefit and don't have that of where they've got somewhere always to go. So I'm thinking about it, as we do go there, as we do, you know, that we can be a light and a witness for people. For the ones that we probably all that are listening right now, probably all that are in here have lost family, we've got lost friends, that somebody we're going to see this week. And again, I'm not going to go to be pushy or nothing like that. They know where I stand, I hope, and I want them to know where I stand, but I want to be there for them. And like I've been praying for them, you know, for all year, my family, you know, calling people's name out quite a bit, you know, that one day they're going to come to the realization that Jesus is drawing them and they need Jesus in their life. So in order for me to live in that, though, that every morning, it says, every morning I must rise up, whenever that is, you know, whether you rise up early in the morning, but maybe right now is early in the morning to you, you know. And I know that sometimes, you know, whether I'm telling myself or not, but on Saturday, even though I wake up before this time, but still yet, I like to just sit there and just, I can call this early in the morning, 8 o'clock. But I know, you know, some of the older ones at church, they say, Lord, 8 o'clock, you may as well be eating lunch if you're going to wait that long to get up. So anyway, but it's just different for people. What if you work nights? You know what I'm saying? You're early in the morning, maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But still yet, no matter when that is, you must get up and declare the righteousness of God over your life and know that his mercies are new every day, and he does great things for you, and I'm thankful that we can live in that. And you are the light. It said, you know, then shall the light break forth. Who is the light? Jesus is the light, but now because he went away, now we are the light. So whenever that is, we got to break forth as light in the morning. I'm thankful that it health. So many people right now are battling through so many things. I know, you know, people sometimes, you know, at the end of the year, seems like people try to get this in or that in before the end of the year because, you know, with deductibles and insurances and stuff like that. Well, I need to get my health checked on. I need to see what's going on. But even every morning, our health can be something that's in Jesus. Even us going through this or that, still yet my health and the reason that I live is all in Jesus. And I want to break forth in rejoicing every morning. Amen.
Amen.
I love it.
All right. Yeah, even them little things you had, what you broke forth in those this morning, it woke you up and rode you up, and here
I
you go.
I feel like that fruit and that fiber.
I see light blooming.
And the probiotics. I don't know what kind of bacteria they put in there, but it is good stuff.
Well, that light is just glaring off of you like none other, brother.
I'm probably shining. Is this skin? Is those probiotics to help your skin?
Probably. Hey,
no, but I didn't tell you this yet. This is kind of a funny story before we get into the social media stuff. But I had a gentleman ask me last week at church.
Uh-huh.
He said, hey, brother, I need to ask you a question. I said, okay. He said, how do you get your head to shine like that all the time? He said, what do you put on it?
Anointing oil.
I said, well, I wish I could tell you I put something on it, but I said, no. He said, do you put some kind of oil on it, or what do you do? I said, no, I don't, brother. I said, I do wash my hair, even though I ain't got none. I said, I do that, but other than putting something on it, I don't put something on it to make my bald head shine out. So.
I do wash my hair even though I don't got that. That's good. I like that.
So, anyway,
well, you have a little bit. That,
I know.
You gotta wash the look.
I gotta wash it. I mean, you know. So I'm
saving.
I guess
that would be like, I don't know. It would feel weird not to use shampoo.
But still, yeah, I'll be honest with you. Even when I've shaved my head before, which had been years ago, even as a kid. I still remember still using shampoo. It's like, what do you use shampoo for? But anyway, so.
It's just
instinct, I guess. I don't know.
Does Aaron still use shampoo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got, I mean, right now,
no,
even
like
though
it
it's
was
not
thinner than that.
Oh, yeah.
But
head and shoulders all the way.
But right now, he's still got more hair than I got, and he's now growing out for him.
Well, so. I figured something out. I think he was onto something. It says that benefits of probiotics are also reducing skin conditions.
Oh, see?
Like acne and rosacea, psoriasis. It keeps your skin moisturized and anti-wrinkle benefits.
I knew my eyes were looking different.
You got to eat more. You got to eat it more than one for 5 minutes, brother. You got to do it consistently.
You tell me one pack's not going to do anything. Those are 2 billion anti thingies in there.
So you ought to be good to go for a long time now, right?
It's 1 year a pack. That's what I thought it was.
Oh my goodness!
So there's 2 billion live microorganisms in that thing.
I felt it.
Wow.
I can feel them coursing through my body, making me healthier.
I don't know if I'm excited about that or scared about that. I ain't figured that out yet.
Oh, man. Well, before we go on to social media, I do have to share one story because I was rolling yesterday. Todd Mingus was talking to me about, you know, they're going on their trip and be praying for them going into Honduras. And he says, how do you explain 2 grown men walking through customs with 100 diaper bags?
Got a lot of kids.
He said, and how do you do it in Spanish? Wow. Because he'll be in Honduras, and he says, him and Phil's going to have to account for 100 diaper bags.
If I can tell Todd anything right now, I need him to be quiet and let Phil do it in Spanish right there, okay? All right, Phil, I hope you've been studying, brother. Here you go.
You've been practicing, sir.
Just tell them they have a lot of kids in Honduras. They're a dad to many.
Well, I know sometimes I've been with, not very often, but sometimes I've been with Phil or whatever, and you know how you'll get them calls, and you'll more or less just hang them up or whatever, and you don't want to talk to them. Phil, he don't care to sit there and just talk to him for a little bit and say, hey, who, you know, just anyway, so there you go.
Oh, my God. It's funny when people do that.
All right.
Find out who they are.
That's right. That's right.
So let's just start out with some very common, you know, the topic, and the topic that was wanting to be talked about was social media and Christians. Is it anything specific on it, Hannah? Are we talking about,
as a Christian, how should we use it and how should
for
we
the
not?
Glory of God? Oh, that's easy. Let's go.
Woo, next question.
What should we do and what should we not do?
What's next? Well, first of all, I think that you drew, without being joking too much, is like you should do it for the glory of God. Whatever we do, whether in word or deed, is for the glory of God. So what you do on messages, what you do on Facebook, what you do on your Facebook watch videos, your YouTube shorts, your Insta reels, whatever they are, it all should be for the glory of God. Every single thing. What you watch should be for the glory of God.
Amen.
What you say should be for the glory of God. As a Christian, you never get to stop being a Christian. So Christ likeness is not something that's formed just for the church house. Christ likeness is something formed for also our Instagram and our Facebook and our, I don't like Snapchat, but I guess Snapchat too. Snapchat's one of my least favorite social media. I don't have it. Nobody wants pictures of this face. And TikTok and Snapchat are something I just don't do. I just don't want to do. And,
I don't do the TikTok, but now I do get videos tried to send to me. And there for the longest time, to be honest with you, I was able to watch them. And it was good. I mean, you know, I've even got some word out of it and things like that. But now, unless you have that app downloaded,
it won't let you.
It won't let you watch
it.
Yeah, because
I've never downloaded it either.
But now my wife, of course, she hasn't. She shows me some good stuff sometime. But in amongst all that, still yet, there's, for whatever reason, I have not chosen to download it.
And this is my personal thing. I mean, like, it's not conspiracy theory, China's watching us or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Right.
Mine, I just feel like for my house, it seems there's a lot less protection over what goes through that stream. About
the TikTok or the Snapchat also. Or
seems
both.
Like TikTok. I don't know.
Snapchat too.
Snapchat's definitely bad because you don't have to.
You never know what's going to. There's a page where you scroll over to like an explore page kind of, and it shows your friends at the top, but then there's like a section underneath it, and you cannot, as far as I know, you can't control what pops up there. And there's things that have popped up as I was a teenager that I never should have been able to see.
Facebook's getting worse for that too.
Yes.
And so I think as especially as men, we must guard ourselves against Amen. Those. And I think like this is no way endorsement for any of these things. We're just kind of speaking educationally on all right. these to inform us, to help us think through this as Christians. But I think with all social media, we must have guards on, and we must be careful what we're consuming. And I do think there's a point to where if there is a perpetual showing of videos and things that, you know, I think sometimes we accept these things because they're just part of it. But I think we do have to get to the point where we're just fed up with it. We're not exposing ourselves, because for those who have struggled, and I've walked through a lot of things in my life.
Yeah.
And I know that for myself, as a lot of other people, just to be very real, you have to put a lot of guards up, and you got to put right. precautionary things up, and you don't let your heart be swayed over, and you got to yeah. careful little eye what you see.
Yeah.
And so
much truth to that.
And because you can think you think you can be as set free as you can be, but there's that one little glance, there's that one right. little. And so this is why Jesus is saying you got to protect your heart.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's some, me and Hannah was talking about a movie the other day, like, and I won't say the movie because I'm not really against the movie, but I have seen enough of it to know I can't watch that movie.
Right.
Even though, like, the message of it may be really good, maybe it's helpful to a certain group of people, I can't watch it because
yeah.
that eye gate, I can't receive that.
Right.
And I'm just being very real for a minute. Like, I mean, I think all men need to talk like this sometimes, and I'm being vulnerable enough to do it on the thing. Like, there's certain things I can't watch.
Right.
And some people say, you can't watch that, it's silly. But I'm protecting my own heart.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's our responsibility.
And sometimes you'll have people say, oh, you can't do that, but you'll do this. Oh, you can't do that, but you'll do this. Hey, look, at the end of the day, whatever you need to guard your heart from,
yeah.
that's what you need to do. And I, you know, for whatever reason, to be honest with you, brother, early in the year, it's almost like the Lord was putting a message in my heart, or I was thinking about it or whatever, about husbands and wives, about cell phones, about different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, look, you need not only the Lord being your chief cornerstone, I to convict you and, you know, mm-hmm. draw you the Holy Ghost conviction. But thing about it is, also, I think it's very important for us to have somebody in our corner that we can be accountable to. More or less, if a husband or wife says, let me see your phone, and you can't just toss it to them, then, you know, why not? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But, well, I got to do, what if there's something in there they don't need to see? What if I'm looking up for a something for this, or a birthday's coming up, it's time for that? Hey, that's a chance you take. But if they want your phone, yeah, your husband or wife, people you love, and you've got a problem passing it over to them, I believe there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it. Well, they're getting into my space. Well, it's your husband or wife. They better be able to get into your space.
Because you're supposed to be one.
That's my personal, you know, and I haven't really, I've got, it's like it's been boiling in me for a while, and maybe it's just going to blow up one day. I don't know. But anyway, but for real,
I want to be there.
Because oftentimes you have people think, well, this is mine. You know, I hear this a lot, you know, between husband and wife. Well, that's hers and that's mine. And I just, anybody that's listening right now that has heard me a few times, they know exactly how I stand on this. They say, look, you're one now. You're one. So I want you to know. Oh, and thank you. But Rachel said that, and if you have a passcode, you know what I'm saying, that only certain people has. She, of course, we don't or whatever. And I understand you do. You got to protect for some. But like I said, if people around you and people you love and people you want to be accountable with, if they need to know your passcode, you better be able to give it to them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? What are you hiding? Well, I'm not hiding nothing, but still yet, you know, then you got the other one say, well, they should trust me. Well, then you should trust them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really, let's get it down to where it really needs to be at, and let's not have nothing hidden. You know, that's why I want to make sure, even as pastor now, you know, you may get somebody to ask you this or ask you that, and my stuff's on my iPad at home, so anytime something happens throughout the day, I want to make sure that, one, that nothing is hid, all right? And also, two, if my wife needs to remind me, say, hey, did you answer that text? No. You opened it.
Yeah.
I said, I know, but I was doing something. I forgot. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Then she'll help me say, okay, I got to go back and answer that text.
Now, I get bad about that. But
for real. And you don't aim to. It's just, you know, when I'm working, I'm doing things. All right, I'll get to that later. And then the later never comes.
I'm really bad about that. And then you got to apologize for it.
You do, man. I mean, but as I think the Lord is trying to teach me, say, listen, it matters. Even though it's a question, you may think, scrub your head a little bit. Think, whoa, I don't want to really. But still yet, you've got to. You've got to do that. You got to check it. You need to try to have people that you can check on and things like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, through the end of the day, that all involves, to be honest with you, I know we don't really call that social media, but that's on our phone that's doing that. Just like, Brother Aaron, you're talking about screen time. But, you know, here I'll be texting a few people here and there about the Lord, things like that. But that all involves that screen time right there.
Well, it does go on social media, too, because sometimes there's things that are on your Facebook or your Instagram. Or you're following something and you don't realize what it is. Like, you don't realize. Sometimes it can be deceiving. Like, maybe it'll post one funny meme or something, but then the rest of the content is really bad stuff.
Yeah.
And I think just, you know, even helping each other find, you know, if your spouse or whoever is on your phone and they see something like, what's this? Like, maybe you be honest and be like, I really don't know. But then you can help each other be like, okay, well, you should probably unfollow this this page.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and just keep each other accountable in that way.
Yeah.
And now I want to unpack this for a second.
Yeah.
All right.
Got a few minutes?
When on social media, messages or anything like that, I think it's important to be very clear on this, that I don't think we should be having full conversations with people on the opposite sex. And what I mean by that is, you know, Hannah will text me something about, like, can this happen? What do you want done here? Or, hey, this is messed up. Can you see it? Or somebody's called.
Right.
That, I think, is permissible. I think that's fine because it's about, it's, you know, getting a job done or something like that. But if you're having a conversation that's ongoing with the opposite sex, I don't think that's healthy and I don't think that's right.
Right.
I think asking questions or direct things or sending something every once in a while, that's different. But when you start to have an ongoing conversation without your spouse involved, I think at that point it gets very dangerous, and I think that's where the enemy comes in. And we've seen I know I have one person I love to hear to teach, and he never had any kind of sexual conversation, never anything bad, but there was an ongoing conversation enough that it became inappropriate, and he had to step away from ministry for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and do I think it was sinful? Probably. I don't know if I would call it sinful. His wife was aware of the conversation. You know, it wasn't like it was a dark secret. But I do think it was, even if it's permissible, was it profitable?
Yeah.
And we have to guard ourselves and our testimony. We don't even want an appearance of darkness or evil. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if somebody's going, now, it, and for me to engage in a conversation, even just point blank back and forth, I got to know you and I got to trust you. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're a female that's texting me and I don't respond back, it's probably because I'm going to try to get my wife involved or I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest with you. I'm very open about that. There has been females that message me, not even bad things, not at all.
I know.
No, I'm not saying like that. I'm being very clear.
Yeah.
But I've not responded back. And they've got upset with me. But I've waited to talk to them in person in church or something like that because I don't feel comfortable. And I don't feel right about it. And I think that these are all parts of these guards we put up on everything. Not because I think I'm going to be swayed or drawn aside. I don't want to give the place to the devil. Like, right. I don't even want to get close enough to Potiphar's wife for Potiphar's wife to accuse me of something.
Right.
So I've always separated myself to the largest extent that I possibly can and taken those safeguards just so they're not there.
Right.
And plus, I think that anytime we can shut a door to the enemy having a room to fire a fiery dart, it's our responsibility as Christians to do so. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're having ongoing conversations with the opposite sex, I think you should really pray about that. And I think it should be something you very much should pray about not doing. To say the least.
I got you.
I definitely don't try to hide it from your spouse.
Right. No, not no way at all. No way.
Yeah. And I mean, and there's people that, you know, there's people that we love that we consider family. And but I still think even against those,
yeah,
like you have to make this resolve. And there's a reason that people like Billy Graham never had a scandal with other women. It's because he had the rules, yep. And he had these guidelines. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're a female and you come to my office to chat, either one of the doors are getting opened, and that's even on plus the cameras that's in my room. So, you know, it is just that. Like we've taken very intentional thing, and I think we have to do the same. I'm trying to be very vulnerable this morning, right. And trying to say stuff more than I usually would. But I think with social media, we've got to do this.
Yeah.
So just like if there's a woman in your office, pastor or leader or man,
yeah,
and you would have a door open, you better have the same door open on social media, right. Somehow.
Yeah.
Don't treat social media different than you would your office.
That's exactly right.
And I think those are safeguards you got to put up. And be careful what you're watching video-wise. Be careful of the reels. Be careful of all of that. You're not just a protector over your own house, of your kids and your family. You also should be a protector over yourself.
Yes.
And you've got to guard yourself as much as you're being a watchman for your family.
Because so many times I think we try to hold everybody else to a standard that we never try to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's not the way to go.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we got to go to break here. And then and we're going to be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood, and we are so thankful that you guys have joined us today, and just appreciate everybody's, and we're humbled by it, and we're honored by it. And again, social media can be a blessing, but it also can be a curse, so use it wisely and use it to the glory of God. Amen. And Miss Karen, thank you so much for sending that song to me again yesterday. I love that song. It really is a good song.
So you have heard it before?
I have heard it before. When you live with a worship leader, you hear a lot of songs.
Well, that's true. I forget that.
I live with a worship leader and work at a radio station. So.
I'll start sending them to her instead of you. Heard this yet?
Well, honestly, I didn't listen to a lot of music until lately.
Uh-huh.
Like, I kind of got out of the whole, not out of music, but I'm a nerd. So, like, yesterday I listened to this one guy for an hour that talked just like this. And I'm going, yes, that's awesome, yes. Everybody else be like, and I'm like, yeah.
It's the anointing on a word, you know.
It is.
It's what it is.
It is. So, Miss Karen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm really doing great. I've been listening to you all this morning, and I was telling Josh and Hannah that, of course, a lot of things were running through my mind as I listened to you. And I know you've been teaching on Romans 13, but this morning all of a sudden I remembered we taught about it in Sunday school a few months ago, and I can remember that. Oh, really? All of them? I have to all of them? And, you know, and it reminded me of something I was telling Josh, too, that we had a Bible study a couple years ago, and we studied the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing of it is, I remembered in all of it, and the things that you were talking about, is that in everything we do, Miss Doris Butler taught us this, and it's a matter of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I listened to you all this morning, you know, I like to talk about and think about walking around this earth with the authority
mm-hmm.
that I've been given in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I come to that place of wondering when he says to me and of me, you're the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. You're the light of the world, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, you know, as I sit and I listen to y'all talk this morning, I realized, you know, it is the matter of the heart about the place where through our suffering, the world can be blessed.
Come on.
You know, and it's the matter of the heart, and it's that place where when we stand up to oppose something, it's the matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that place where, what is it you really want to accomplish here?
Come on.
What is it that you're trying? Are you trying to prove they're wrong and you're right? Mm. That's the wrong heart.
Mm. Yeah. That's right.
So good.
That's right.
And, you know, I think about Jesus, and he was our perfect example.
Amen.
You know, and I never really heard of him or saw him get up in Pilate's face.
Mm-hmm.
He was direct with him. The only time I saw him get close to that was when he talked to the church.
Mm. Wow.
It's true.
Yep.
And even then, you will not convince me that he didn't do it with the right heart.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
He had the right heart.
Yeah, he did.
He was after, if he could get one, he was after one. And he and all of heaven would rejoice with that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, again, I mean, I didn't mean to come in here and just start talking.
No, please do.
But it is the matter of our heart. And where are we in all of this? You know, I believe that, you know, we keep hearing the time is coming, the time is coming, and it is. But it's not here yet. And his return is near, but he's not here yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still so much for us to do, and I think everybody is feeling it.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you got to have the right heart in it.
Yeah.
Amen.
I've said this before, that if a Christian does what they think's the right thing from a spirit of offense,
mm-hmm.
if you're doing it because you're offended, mm-hmm. you'll only offend.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the Christian offending, it's sin.
Right.
If it's the word offending, it's truth.
Right.
But we got to make sure we're not the ones that's offending.
That's right.
And because then it would become sinful for us. And so I think that's where we have to guard our heart, and mm-hmm. that we have to say, I've got to have a sound mind.
Right.
And sound mind is not just not having drugs in your system or under the influence of alcohol. Sound mind is fear is not going to be my master. Anxiety mm-hmm. is not going to be my master. Offense is not my master, but love, peace, joy, and righteousness is what I will live from in a sound mind.
Right.
And so.
And, you know, it. Another thing, as you all were talking, I was thinking, you reminded me of it there, is that, you know, God is the only one that can put you in a position in your life where opposites are true at the very same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the only one that can bring you to the place of being comfortable in the midst of uncomfortableness. He's the only one that can bring you to the place of great strength in the midst of the greatest weakness.
Come on.
He can bring clarity in the midst of confusion.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to walk in that place in this land, you know, as time does draw near. But time's drawing near for someone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I don't know. He's doing such a work in so many people, and it's so obvious in what's going on in people's lives. You can hear it. You can see it. He's moving. And we've just got to get into that clear thinking that only he can give us, walking in his spirit,
mm-hmm.
being led and guided by that. And he's changing the world.
Right.
He's changing the world right now. And it's exciting, but it's also very serious. It's very, we've got to be so deliberate about where we are and what's going on in this world today.
Yeah. And, you know, if we're going to be people of change, mm-hmm. we first have to be changed.
That's right.
And I think that's what the Lord's doing right now in the body of Christ, is we're realizing we can't keep putting the same ingredients and expecting a different pie.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
He's bringing great repentance to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And,
amen.
And I love the pursuit of truth that is in the body of Christ. Like, there is a, I don't know if y'all can feel it,
yes.
like I can
mm-hmm.
feel it, but there's these people, the remnant, that's just saying, we just need truth. We don't mm-hmm. care what it looks like. We don't care what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. We don't care what repentance has to take place. We don't care if it makes it look like a fool. Whatever it looks like, we need truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what we're diving yeah. for.
It's the only thing. And, you know, one of my favorite words that Paul uses is that word apprehend.
Mm-hmm.
I love that word. looking to apprehend that which has apprehended me. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Come on now. Mm-hmm.
I love that. That is such a high thing. And, you mm-hmm. know, we look and we see these words that God speaks, and how high level they are. Apprehend, pursue, you know, all those great words. But in Him, they're all possible for you and I.
That's right.
All possible for you and I to get there.
Amen.
And I love it. I love it. But I do love what's going on in the body of Christ right now.
Yeah.
It's an exciting, rejoicing time to see what's taking place.
Yes, for sure.
It really is.
Amen. Well, Miss Karen, you are a co-host to Raise a Hallelujah.
Yes,
that's
I am.
On Wednesdays and Sunday evenings.
Uh-huh.
And so you and Miss Jeannie have done that for how long y'all going now?
Well, we started before Brother Ron passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So what, 5-6 years?
Well, that's 2019. Yeah. So
not 2019.
Yeah, so it's like five years
it's been ago. At least five, probably six.
5-6 years.
Yeah. We've had some fun times, you know. We get tickled on there because we're sitting there talking in the middle of persecution. We're talking about persecution, and we're laughing about it. But, you know, not in the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we got to write hard about
it. That's right.
It.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But because, again, that's the heart of the matter. I mean, He's called us to it. He said, you're going to know it. And we're sitting there talking about these difficult things with joy. With joy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So it's, but we enjoy doing it. Sometimes we have some really difficult things to say and hear, but we really love doing it. We really love it.
We all do a great job, and you do a great job teaching the Sunday school here on Sunday mornings for the adults, and then as well, you do a Bible study on Monday nights here.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you all currently at in your Monday night Bible study?
Well, we've been talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, being led by the Spirit. And we've kind of moved into a place of not just so much the study of it, but we've been praying. We've been leaning more to time of prayer. You know, of course, we played for the political situation. We prayed before the election, but we've moved more into that kind of time that we're spending on Monday night, more than study, teaching, and those kind of things. Of course, we do still talk and everything, but it's been more about prayer. I pray probably for the last month or so.
So it's a little transitioned almost into a prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Miss Gretchen has filled me in on some of that. Mm-hmm. She kind of keeps me up to date what the Lord's doing.
She was saying it was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, again, it's the group on Monday night, for the most part, we're older, you know, older women. But, you know, I think
we don't use the word older. We use the word seasoned.
Oh, seasoned, right. You know, I'm not really worried about either one of them. I'm good with where I am, you know. But, you know, I think that one of the things that's happened there is that we've come to understand that the work of the Lord and your purpose in it never comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And, you know, there's always things for people to do. And so we've come into, and I do think that people there in that class are being propelled forward by the Lord. And we have moved real strongly into a prayer meeting, you know. And we may stay there. We're just letting the Lord lead us and guide us into whatever He wants us to do.
Which is awesome.
So,
Miss Gretchen was also told me, sorry, I don't mean to keep bringing up Miss Gretchen, but there was two things she had said that I wanted to get to you so you can talk into them. The first thing was the transition into more prayer, and I think that's really awesome to see what God's doing there. The second thing, too, though, is she's telling me that you're telling the older or the seasoned ones that age can't be our excuse to hone out.
That's right.
And yeah. I would love for you to speak. It's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing for somebody that that is there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And and I think they need to hear that. Like, I think we all need to hear that, because I mean, I feel young at times, but then I feel older at times. And sometimes when I wake up in the morning, my feet are hurting.
That's right.
And I'm like, I think I'd just rather stay in bed today.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no, you you're going through life, and all of a sudden you look down and something's going on. You're like, well, when did that happen? You know, when did it come to the place that I couldn't get up – up from the floor in one leap. You know, now I have to grab the counter and pull myself up. When did that happen? But it's going to happen.
Well, it's already happening for me.
So. Yeah, yeah. You're okay. You're fine. You're right on track.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Yeah, Karen.
You're not advanced or anything.
That makes me feel so much better.
You're doing good. You're doing really good.
That's awesome.
But you know that.
So the, my diet's not so bad. No, it's destroying my body. So I'm on track.
I think you should eat bacon. I don't see.
Bring her on more.
I don't
bring
see
her
anything
on more.
Wrong with eating sausage on a stick.
I'm getting ready to lose my co-host position. I can never see it.
I do have a problem, though, with anything coated with yogurt.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That bothers me.
Josh, Josh, thank you for all your years of service.
Yeah,
but,
out the door. See y'all.
It really bothered me. Now, that is one thing that I did have a concern about this morning. Y'all are talking. Coated with yogurt? That don't sound right to me.
It really doesn't taste that bad. I will say that one. It doesn't taste awful.
But, you know, this thing with the odor, I remember, I think it's kind of came to light for me several years ago. My mother, who had, been that person that sang in the choir, was always at church, always involved, Sunday school teacher, and she was devoted, rightfully so, not in a wrong way. But there came a time when she said to me, she said, it's time for me to step back. It's time for me to sit down. And she said, I need to make room for the younger people. And I don't know, I didn't really have a big discussion with her, but something didn't ring right to me about that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this thing about the young and the old, it's not anything I've come up with. It's the order of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a piece of the puzzle.
Come
absolutely.
On. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Absolutely.
I'm a piece of the puzzle.
For sure.
And you're a piece of the puzzle. And anyone who knows him is not excluded from that. You're a
that's
piece
right.
of
Amen.
The, you're a piece of the whole picture.
Yeah.
And without that, something's missing and we can't see the whole thing.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've got to be able to see the whole thing. As we walk, we have got to understand, we got to see from where God sees.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to hear from where God hears.
Come on.
And without the whole picture, which is what he wants, he loves the word whole.
Yeah.
Complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves those words.
That's right.
All.
Yeah.
Without the whole picture, we can't see it. And you're a piece of that picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks about that a lot. It's a thing of unity within the body of Christ. He says, in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit on all, young and old, male and female. I'll do it with them all. That means, to me, it's saying, I need all,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
young and old.
Absolutely.
And the other part of that is that I can't do it without the young people. And they really can't do it without me.
Yeah.
Because that's God's order.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he set it up, not Karen, not me thinking I have to be a part of the picture. That's the order of God.
Come on.
And we won't get there unless we walk in the order that God has.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I have faced criticism of is being too focused on the younger people. And I would love to just speak into that for a second. My focus is not just solely on the younger people. But I think they're the ones that need discipled. And those who have been born again for 40 years should not be in the, like, overwhelming discipled phase. They should be discipling.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to – do we ever stop being a disciple? No. We're always learning. We're always growing. But eventually there has to be this transition from being disciple to discipling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what, for my greatest heart, is a Titus. Like, the younger women need the older women mm-hmm. to step up and disciple. Mm-hmm. The younger men need the older men to step up and disciple. And so, like, there comes this point that they may not even realize it, but they're crying out for wisdom, and they're mm-hmm. crying out. And a lot of times, what you said earlier is, that is, it's time for me to step aside and let the younger generation come through. I think that's a lie of the enemy trying to get mm-hmm. you honed out in your greatest years.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to work like you used to work, laborly or whatever it is, but your wisdom, your mm-hmm. knowledge, and so there has to come a point, and I'm going to say this very, very loving, and this isn't just about age. I think this is about Christian maturity. There has to come a point where you stop taking from the church and you start giving to the mission of the church. And that has to be more than money.
Right.
The church was never about what you receive. The church was about the body of Christ that goes on the mission of the Christ, Jesus, and that's to go preach the gospel. Yeah. And we've unintentionally created a whole church culture that is about receiving and never mm-hmm. giving. And so now we have people who's been born again for 40 years still asking, what are you going to give me?
Right.
But in reality, the question has to shift. What can I give to others?
Right.
And if I've been born again for 40 years and have nothing to give to others, the problem is not the church. The problem is me.
That's right. I agree.
And I'm just trying to be honest for a minute. And so we need the older generation, because this younger generation's under an all-out assault. They're being hit from every angle. The world, the enemy is overcoming them. And it's not a... it's kind of cliche at times, but we're not a cruise ship. It's not about entertaining each other. Mm-hmm. It's about there's a generation under attack, and it takes the whole village to come around and to raise them and protect them and to mature them. And so I will take the heat. But what I'm trying to do is saying everybody in this room, like you just said, has a calling, has a purpose. Everybody in this room is called to ministry.
That's right.
Maybe not a microphone, but they're called to ministry. Mm-hmm. And there's always a young person that we can disciple and pour ourselves into.
Well, you know, and again, we talked about the order of God. You know, the order of God is that you do what you just said too.
Right.
The order of God says God gives you through His Son and by His Spirit, He gives you food to share. You eat it, but He never gives you anything that you were to consume and keep of your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and He gives you, and see, again, the happiest thing I have found, and I'm still, you know, I got some things, but the happiest moments that I have found are those moments, believe it or not, when I obey what God says.
That's right. That's
you know,
good.
God says, go ye therefore.
Funny how that works.
I know, but see, that's His order.
That's right.
That's His balance, and God said, go ye, so... It stands to reason that the happiest times, maybe not the easiest, but the happiest times, the best times, the most productive time is when I'm going to do what He told me to do.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And He says the young the old you teach the young.
Mm-hmm. Titus, right there.
He says that. So that stands to reason that if He said it, if I'm believing what He said, my most productive or whatever incredible words you want to call it, they're the best moments of my life are going to be when I'm doing what He said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of life I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, and again, the Gretchen talking about speaking this into the older people, they're seeing that too. I don't know. I don't think my mother would have wanted to live out the rest of her life with nothing.
That's right.
Come on now.
With
That's
nothing.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Feeling like she had spent all those years teaching and bringing the word and singing and doing all those things. I don't think she would want to have ended her life doing nothing for Him, because she loved Him.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing is that we do want it.
Mm-hmm.
The world, in a way, has taught us it's time for you to step back. It's time for you to retire. But in the body, in the things of God, when is it that you do retire? Isn't there things in the Bible, Josh, that talks about with your last breath?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Aren't there scripture in there that talks about
then also,
with your last breath?
Yeah. Endure to the end? I mean, you know, so.
And so, you know, how could you think you're going to be happy unless you're doing those things?
Come on.
Yeah.
With your last breath until the very end.
Yeah.
Your best days are yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
They won't be the same.
That's right.
But your best days are yet to come.
Yes. Yeah. Glory.
It is. It really is. And I mean, He's persuaded me.
That's right. Come on.
He has persuaded me of it.
Well, you know, like in a relay race, there is a time where you hand off the baton. But there's also a time where you're running together with the baton.
Right.
And I think that's the place we miss so many times, is that we either want to hand it off to somebody else, but there's always that point in every race to where you're running with it together.
Right. And, you know, when I handed the basketball off to my daughter, I can guarantee you she heard me yelling for her in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
She heard me at home coaching her to do this or to do that. My job with that never stopped, even though I had handed it off. I couldn't dribble the ball. Never was very good at it, to be honest. But But when I handed that to her, I still backed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't just say, here you go, see you later, or whatever.
Come on,
she heard me. I asked her, I said, Sarah, can you hear me cheering for you from the stands? She said, Mom, everybody can hear you. But you know, there were still things that I tried to coach her on. Mm-hmm. It's no different.
Yeah.
It's no different. And it's greater.
And there comes a day whenever there will come a day that I won't be here for my children.
That's right.
But the legacy that I left will be. And so what am I going to leave screaming to them after I leave?
Right.
What, and that's why I'm so, we talked about this on the phone the other day. This is why I'm so serious on getting the church right.
Amen.
Like, whatever I can do. Because I'm not trying to leave my kids with a thought of ministry. I want to leave my kids with a church that's on fire, that they have regardless if I'm here or not.
Right.
I'm not looking for something that's temporal. I'm looking for something that is eternal and has substance.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
Well, you know, Jeannie, this is another Jeannie and Karen story, but there was a Bible study at a church that we went to before, and Jeannie was teaching one class, and I went to another class because I knew what Jeannie was teaching. But my mom went to her class, and Jeannie was teaching about the inheritance that you're leaving for your children.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? And so she taught them, and then Mom and I left the Bible study, and we were driving home, and she was talking about the things that she had heard about what's the inheritance you're leaving for your children. And she's telling me, and she's talking about all these things, and then she goes, I have got to get this. She was 70.
Mm-hmm.
She was in her 70s. I have got to get this. Wow. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about possessions. It was about kingdom things.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Testimony, faith shared. Mm. It was about believing in God no matter what.
Right.
I've got to get this, she said. And there she was at 70, and I was in my 50s. And as she spoke those things into my life, I thought, man, here she is, still teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
It never ends.
Mm-hmm.
And the young need it, and so do the old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seasoned.
Absolutely. I like it. Well, I can't believe we're almost out of time. That flew.
Because I talk so much.
No, you do not talk. You need to talk more, Miss Karen.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. We have 1 minute, so... 2 minutes, actually. 2 minutes. Departing words, not goodbye. We can't say goodbyes. Hannah gets upset about that.
No, I don't like when he says final words.
Final words. That's right. Final words.
Yeah.
Departing words for this morning. Anybody got anything?
Been a great morning. Been so good to be with you the last little bit, Sister Karen.
Thank you. It was good to see you again, Josh.
Yep.
He was always one of my favorites.
Well, I doubt that.
Well,
hey, when there's only two
don't
or
make
three
his
there,
head swell too much, all right? Don't make his head swell too
well,
much.
Well, he knew it. He's known it all along.
Oh,
it's no secret to him.
My.
He knew it.
But it is, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be able to come together with people and speak of the things of God. It's
Amen.
A great thing.
Great Amen. Thing.
Well, Miss Hannah,
Amen.
What you got?
I'm thankful. I'm excited for the generations coming together and what God has in store. And I was looking out there at Miss Gretchen because when Miss Karen had mentioned, when Gretchen said, or something like that, and then Miss Gretchen peeked her head over and she was like, she stopped in her tracks and looked back.
That's right.
Like she was trying to hear, what are they saying about me on there?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Miss Karen, so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
I hope we got to talk about what you wanted to talk about. You had notes and stuff.
No, you need to bring her again because she had quite a bit more.
No, Josh, you're fired.
I know. Yep, you got it. The job is yours, Karen.
Don't do that.
I'm just kidding. I couldn't let you. I would never let go of Josh. I'd never let go of Josh.
I don't blame you.
He's with me. He's with me till the end.
Actually, I didn't have any notes. I just had scripture pulled up.
That's all right.
You know,
that's good.
But
I mean, anybody says eat as much bacon as you want. They're welcome on this broadcast.
You're on my side, aren't
every
you?
Day.
Yeah, that's right.
Anytime, yeah. Anytime.
I'm all
right.
For it.
Anytime. But we do love everybody, and really, we have to get you all back. I need to get you and Miss Jeannie in the same room together.
Yeah,
you all just need to come back and co-host a whole morning with me. Soon.
Hey,
that's right.
You know, just let us know. We'll yep. do it.
I'll take a vacation day. That ain't no big deal.
There's no nothing that says
you don't
you
need
can't
to
be in the
look.
Same room.
There's two extra seats. Like I've told Miss Rachel forever.
We have every other Friday.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey.
But it is such a good joy, great joy. We're out of time. We love you all. Be blessed. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Vox 2 Radio on the Vox 2 Radio Network.